going through a different stage in our life, and the truths that we may have heard 10 or 15 years ago, we kind of need to hear a couple more times before we finally get it right. And I'm just thankful that we have that, the eternal, inexhaustible, inerrant, inspired, preserved Word of God. And so let's stand together this morning, please, out of reverence for the Bible. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 4 through 13. And then I'll preach for a little while, and we'll ask God to give us direction and help as we leave here. Philippians chapter 4, follow along, please, as I read, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Would you join me in reading verse 13 out loud together? Ready? Begin. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I want to preach to you a message I've entitled this morning, Perfect Vision for Life. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity today to be in your house. We thank you for the health to be here today. There are some who could not make it because of health reasons. And for those, we pray that you would comfort them and strengthen them today and heal them so we could be reunited again. Lord, for those of us that are here, I pray that you'd give us understanding. I pray, God, that you would help me to get out of your way, and that you would fill me with your Spirit, that you would use me for your glory and honor. And God, I pray that your Spirit would have liberty in every one of us here today. I pray that you would grant us as your people understanding. And I pray, God, when the last amen is said and we leave here, that you would give us wisdom to rightly apply the truth that you have for us today. I pray that you would help us to be attentive to the Spirit of God and what he has to say to this church. And I pray that because of days like today, because of the praise that has been offered up to you, because of a sincere heart of faith, I pray that people in this valley, people where we work with, people that we live by, would see Jesus in us. And I pray that all that you have for us as individuals, as a church family, that we would accomplish and do this year through Christ, which strengtheneth us. I pray that you'd bless our time now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. For most of us, the older we get, the weaker our vision becomes. In spite of all the carrots I ate as a child, when I turned 42, my vision began to get a little blurry. And it was a strain at that point to see things clearly. And so my eye doctor, as I went to see her, prescribed for me glasses for me to wear. And though that was a humongous hurdle for my vanity to get over, I succumbed and thought it would be better to be called four eyes than to look through them as if I did have four eyes. And so I got some glasses, or what you could say is corrective lenses, so that I could restore my vision. Did you know that God wants you to see things in your life clearly? He wants you to see them crystal clearly. Did you know that he wants you to see Jesus clearly? looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Did you know that he wants you to see his will with simplicity? In fact, the Bible tells us that when we love God, his commandments are not grievous. He wants us to see him clearly in his will simplicity. He wants you to visualize his love implicitly. He wants you to understand it and not just apprehend it. He wants you to comprehend it. He wants you to have it all. He wants you to see him working clearly. And unfortunately, instead of our spiritual vision getting clearer or stronger with age, at times, just like with physical sight, it can become a little cloudy and a little dim. And yet it is through the corrective lens of God's word that we can see all things more clearly. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of fire 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Those words, the Bible says, are profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God says, I have written this to you so that you could see things clearly. Our text, they tell me, is the most personal letter that the Apostle Paul ever wrote to Christians, written from a prison cell in Rome awaiting his death. It is here that we read of a man who has been educated in both the power and the sufficiency of God's grace. And it is here in these pages that Paul confesses that he has come to the point in his life where he is content and that he has learned contentment in all things, no matter what his personal status. He sees his life circumstances and his Savior's power very clearly. How does he see his Savior as enough? He sees him as enough. Because you see, when the heart is right, the vision is clear. I'll say that again. When the heart is right, the vision is clear. And when the vision is clear, you will obtain the faith that cries out, I can do all things through Christ. I can be abased and I can abound. I can be hungry and I can be full. I can be with a job. I can be without a job. I can be with all of my family, or as Job, I can be without all of my family, but I trust him completely. My prayer is that this year, every member of our church will take our theme and make it their own personal challenge. And that this year you will be able to see just what God not wants you to do, but all that God can do through you in all things. I want you to take your outline this morning. How did Paul arrive at such a point of faith where he could look at any circumstance and say, look, I can do this, but I can't do it on my own. I can only do it through Christ. How was he able to see? Because, you know, faith is not the substance of things that you see. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe our text reveals 3 irrefutable attributes of Paul's faith in God. And if we're going to have a clear vision, not just for this calendar year, but for the rest of our life, first of all, there must be a committed preference. A committed preference. Look at verse 11 and 12, if you will. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. We learn from this passage that it is undeniable that Paul was a Christian who was completely willing to accept his life as it was given to him by God. It didn't matter the circumstances. His circumstances, his conditions of life were left in the hands of a loving God. He simply chose, if you will, to prefer God's will to his own will. Nobody in here wants to be hungry. Nobody in here wants to suffer lack or a loss. But if God has deemed it necessary, it's got to be a commitment to say, Lord, I may not understand it and I may not even like it, but I accept it as your will. Because I know you can do all things right. The first key to understanding how you and I can do all things through Christ is to accept that our lives are in the hands of God and to do with what he deems necessary and best for the glory of Christ. Job, as I was reading through the book of Job this morning, just revealed his own heart. And though he cried out and said, man, I wish I'd have never been born. And the day that I was born shouldn't be blessed. The fact of the matter is he looked at God and said, naked came I into this world and naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You say, well, that's easy when the bills are paid. Yes, but when you lose all finances and all of your family and there's only four servants to your name and your wife is telling you to curse God and die, then try that. It really reveals where you are with God when you lose it all, doesn't it? And yet Paul said, and many theologians have said, you know, it's not just about the loss that's the tough part about life. It's also all the blessings. Prosperity has captured many a Christian because they don't know how to abound and abound through Christ. Oh, they can abound through their paycheck and they can abound with what they want to do with their money, but they don't know how to do it through Christ and they lose out. We see here that if we're going to have a committed preference, it requires two things. First of all, we must resign ourselves from what we don't know. You've got to resign yourself from what you do not know. No one but God knows all the reasons behind what happens in your life. And yet Paul found complete freedom and confidence in the fact that God's ways were higher. And he confesses to this church at Philippi and trusts that the reason that they had not given to him like they had done prior before was not because they didn't like him. He wasn't trying to find some identity. Oh, they're not giving to me because I said something wrong. They're not giving to me because someone has said some rumor about me. They simply don't have an opportunity. He said, I'm not worried. I'm not into the place where I'm saying, man, I really wish that somebody would give to me. He said, I just understand that this is in the hand of God. And the only reason you haven't given is because you didn't have an opportunity. You lacked opportunity. And he trusted that God was in control. He confesses that that's where his heart was. Let's say it another way, that God is in control of my well-being and I'm just going to trust him. I'm going to trust the fact that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And though I may not understand everything, I can resign myself to not know what I don't know. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay not knowing everything. Now, some people are not. They want to know everything. They make statements all the time. They have to figure it all out. And did you know that there's only one person in the universe that has it all figured out? And his name is God. And he's not sitting in this room. He's sitting on the throne of heaven and he is sovereignly governing in the affairs of our life. And he is doing all things good and working all things together for good. And if I'm going to prefer somebody's will, it better be his. Or else I will not be able to do all things through Christ. I've got to resign myself to what I don't know. Although God does not need to explain the reasons for his dealings with us, someday in heaven, he will unveil his matchless wisdom to all of us. Someday when we get to heaven, we'll understand it better by and by. When we get there, we'll know. Nobody will be standing in line with a ticket now serving 853,762,123. Next, God, I had a question. We won't have any questions. It'll all make sense. And we won't have any reason to blame God. You know what we'll have all the reasons to do? To praise him for the rest of our lives. I've committed to God's preference and preferring his will over mine. I've got to resign myself to what I don't know. Secondly, I need to rejoice in what I do know. The Bible says in verse 4 that we begin with, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, let the governance of your life, let the way that you are subject to God's will be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Paul didn't know everything, but what he did know was that the conditions of his life were in the loving hands of God, and those hands were working in him and through him. Now, as you and I decide to fully accept God's will for our life, we may find ourselves in some kind of difficulty or in some kind of trial. I'm not saying that we have to like those situations. I'm saying it's required of us to accept them, that they are meted out by God to us as he deems necessary. And that may mean that we find ourselves this year in some kind of strait. Yet it is during those times that you and I can rejoice in the Lord always And it's because of what we know. Now, I will want to remind you this morning of what I know in hopes that you know the same thing. How is it that Paul in the Roman prison cell, how is it that he could in a jail cell at Philippi rejoice? And how could he have the audacity waiting for his execution to look at these Christians at Philippi and say, rejoice in the Lord always? And by the way, notice this. It didn't say rejoice always. It said the only way you're going to be able to rejoice is in the Lord. We could say it this way, through Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, how you're dealing with all of your surroundings, be made known unto all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. You are going to meet your Savior one day, and you're going to give an account for how you handle all this. And I'm telling you, rejoice now, and you'll still rejoice later. And he's saying, how can you do that? Well, we do that because of what we know, or we could say it this way, what we remember that we know. Now, you go through this year, and you decide you're going to resign yourself and say, God, however you mete out my life, I'm going to resign myself to what I don't know. I don't need to know all the whys. I just need to know the what. And I know what I know. And here's what I know. I know that God is in control of all things. And I know that he's working all things together for good. Romans 8:28. I know that I'm a child of God and I will never be forsaken. I know that I am loved and I have, and nothing will ever change that between me and God. I know that he is working in me a far greater glory. Now, only if I remember those things could I rejoice. Listen, always. Because it is only through Christ that I have and that I am all of those things. Paul is displaying his heart here. The most personal letter he could write hours, perhaps days or months before he gives his life for the cause of Christ. And saying, listen, if I can do all things through Christ, so can you. But there must be a committed preference. One of the best things you could ever do for your spiritual vision is to resign yourself from what you don't know and focus on what you do know so that you could rejoice. Paul said it this way to a church that he never met physically, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Paul recognized the fact that everything that was happening not just for God's glory, but for his good. Even if that meant that he went without a meal. Even if that meant that he was going to be in shipwreck, even if that meant that he was going to be beaten with rods or he left for dead being stoned, it didn't matter. He couldn't control all things and he resigned himself to the one that does. And he said, now I see clearly. I see a committed preference. Perhaps this year one of your goals would be to prefer God's will over your own. Maybe that would be a goal. Number one, God, every day of my life, I want to resign myself to your will, not mine. That no matter what befalls me, I could say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Well, that'd be a great goal. We try to teach it to our kids. You need to resign your will to my will. Why? Because I know better than you. And I know what's good for you. And I know what's bad for you. And we expect our children to submit themselves to us. Now, I would say, Mom and Dad, we owe it to God to submit ourselves to him because he is a heavenly father that does not give a stone when we ask for bread. He doesn't give a serpent when we ask for fish. He gives us the Holy Spirit if we ask. He gives us wisdom if we ask. If we ask, we have the confidence that if we ask according to his will, that he gives us all things according to the Bible. There's a committed preference. Secondly, I see a comforting dependence, a comforting dependence. Paul in verse 13 and really throughout the book, but also throughout this passage, sums it all up in verse 13. I can do all things, notice, through Christ. And then he puts this caveat, which strengtheneth me. Let me ask you a question. By the end of 2019, how strong were you spiritually? Were you fulfilling all things? Did you get it all done? Was the will of God all completed for 2019? Because the only way that Paul said it was going to all get done was through Christ. His strength was going to wane unless he surrendered to the grace of God. And if that's, Paul said, if that's what it takes to have the power of Christ, therefore would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. All of nature depends on hidden resources. The great trees send their roots down into the earth to draw up water and minerals. Rivers have their sources in the snow-capped mountains. The most important part of a tree is the part that you cannot see, the root system. And the most important part of the Christian's life is the part that only God sees. Unless we draw on the deep resources of God by faith, then we fail against the pressures of life. I'll say that again. Unless we draw on the deep resources of God by faith, and that's what Paul's getting across here, that we fail against the pressures of life. And there are a lot of those, aren't there? A lot of pressures. Financial pressures. Family pressures. Relationship pressures. There's all kinds of employment or employer and employee pressures. There's all kinds of pressures. There's traffic pressures. There's all kinds of things. And unless I draw on the deep resources of God, those pressures, like you perhaps have witnessed in your own life, will consume us. They will get the best of us. Paul depended on the power and strength of Christ at work in his life. And the only way that you will accomplish all that God has for you is through him. That's the whole point. It's not about the all things yet. It's just about Christ. It's about Christ in me, the hope of glory that worketh in me mightily, so that I want to work for him. And I want to do all that he's called me to do, but I can't do it on my own. I don't have the strength to do it. I don't have the strength to preach. I don't have the strength to give the gospel. I don't have the strength and the wisdom to love my wife and family. I don't have the ability to do all that. But I can through Christ. And that's what Paul's saying. There's nothing that complicates the Christian life more than living independent from God. You know what's made your life difficult? It's not the will of God. It's your independence from God. Trying to deal with that difficult situation alone. Trying to bear the burdens of all that comes in every single day alone. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Clarity, power, strength, and grace all come to the believer who arrives at the point that without Christ, they can do nothing. Would you just, maybe a second goal would be to pray every day, God, I can't do it without you. I can't live this life without you. If you're trying to live the Christian life without Christ, you are seeking to do the impossible. If you're trying to get to heaven without Christ, we know that you're trying to do the impossible. But are you trying to live for him without him? Because that is equally as impossible. I cannot be truthful. I cannot submit. I cannot have grace. I cannot do all that God has called me to do as a Christian without him. He has created and redeemed me to be dependent always. Jesus Christ then is first of all the resource for all that you have. That's where you got it, is from him. I can do all things, it says, through Christ. And as a believer, you have a lot. I want you to think about this. Because of Christ, you have. Through Christ, I have. What is it that you have? Now, and by the way, I won't exhaust it all to you right now. And for the last several weeks, at the end of this last year, I did give us a lot that we are or have in Christ. We looked at that through the book of Ephesians. But if I stay textually here, and if I just try to help you just at this first Sunday, just listen to a little bit. Now, remember, he is the resource for all that you have, and you have a lot. Do you know what you have? First and foremost, you have God's ear. Because of Christ, you have God's ear. Would you look with me at verse 6? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful. The word is anxious or worrisome. Be careful for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, what? Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, guard, control your hearts and minds. How's it finish? Through Christ. You see? Did you know that you have God's ear? Are you talking to it? You see, if I'm not, and we'll just piggyback a couple of weeks, or last Sunday's message. If I'm not praying always, praying in all kinds of prayer, and being fervent in prayer, then I'm trying to live without Christ. I'm trying to organize it all, trying to keep it all together, trying to make sure that everything's done, trying to do all that kind of stuff without Him. And you can't do that. You weren't designed to do that. Christ said, that's why I came, is so that you could do all things. Now let's differentiate here. There are some things that you're involved in doing that's burdening your life that God does not want you to do. Amen. And that's your fault. And in doing that, there are some things that God does want you to be involved in that you cannot do. And you've been beguiled by Satan, the evil one, the liar, that old serpent who's a murderer and a dragon, to believing that you can't do all things through Christ because you're involved in so many other things. At the beginning of the year is the prime time to differentiate. God, am I doing all the things that you want me to do? And if not, help me to retract those so that I can do all things through Christ. There's a big difference. I have His ear. You have His ear. You have His spirit. You have all of His promises. You have His strength. You have His counsel. You have His light. You have His love. And you have all the grace that you could ever use. The Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, listen, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now that's amazing to me. And yet most Christians walk around like their gas tank is completely empty. Like the idiot light's been going on saying, you need to fill up. You know, the gauge comes on now in all the new cars and says, you have 70 miles to fill up. And you go, that's 70 miles. And it comes on again, you have 50 miles. And it comes on again, you have 40. You have 30. And at 20, you go, yeah, I probably should start thinking about that. And then it says 10. And then 15. And at zero, and you go, I've done it on zero before. Sometimes that's the way we live our Christian life. God's been telling us for a long time, you need to fill up. You need to come back to me. Why? Because I'm the resource for all that you have. And you're lacking the strength to do all that you could be doing for the glory of God. And you're doing it all on your own. You can't do it without me. Ephesians 3 and verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. As a believer, you possess all of this through Christ. The question is, are you using it? The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. I have His full attention all the time. I am never without God's focused attention. Just read Psalm 139 and you'll realize you can't go to a place where God's not watching you and where God is not with you. Amen. He's the resource for all that I have. Secondly, He's the resource for all that you are. I can do all things through Christ because I am what I am through Christ. One of the most challenging aspects of ministry in the 21st century is trying to help Christians realize that their identity, their security, their approval, their appreciation, their significance, and their recognition is found in Christ alone. They struggle because they're looking for approval, recognition, and significance by some other means, by somebody else. Well, if that person thinks I'm important, then it makes me feel better, and I need that person's attention, and that person's right, and I just need that approval and that approval. We preached on that on Wednesday night. The acceptance of Christ is more valuable than my acceptance by other people, because your birth determines your worth. And when you were born again, God gave you an identity that cannot be duplicated on social media or by social means. He gave you all that you are through Christ. Who am I in Christ? I'm a child of the King. Glory to God, I am a child of the living God. I am beloved. I am begotten of God. I, through Christ, am accepted in the beloved. I, through Christ, am adopted into the family. I'm a friend of the Most High God. That was said of Abraham, the friend of God. I'm a co-laborer with God. I get to yoke up with Him. And I am also an ambassador of God. All that I am is wrapped up in the fact that if any man, listen, be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. For we then are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should ignore them. No, it doesn't say that. That we should try to do them on our own. No, that we should walk in them. By His grace, by His strength, through Christ, the one who created me, the one who redeemed me, the one who changed me and filled me, desires to accomplish His will through me. Therefore, the more I completely depend on Him for all things, listen, the more comforting it is. You see, this comforting dependence becomes for Paul is a result of the fact that he knows I am and I have all because of Christ. And that dependence is comforting. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you feel very comfortable in your situation? There's some things probably, more than likely, in one or two of you at least, maybe one or two, that are agitating you. Because you're not dependent and surrendered. You're trying to get some things done, and they're already here. You've already looked at them a couple times during my message, and they're superimposing their will on you. It's because you're not depending on Christ. What are you depending on for your marriage? What are you depending on to pay your bills? What are you depending on for your future? Is it okay if God changes your future? Would you still be comfortable with that? There are people sitting in this room who, in the last 5 or 10 years, have had news come to them that they weren't very comfortable with. But in it, they found comfort because they wholly depended on the God that saved them. You see, I can do all things through Christ if it's His strength. He's the resource for all that I am and all that I have. Paul could live in the comfort of contentment, he said, because of his dependence in the resource of all things. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation, your entire life, be without covetousness. Well, God, if you just give me that, if I just had that, then if I had their approval, if I had this much, if I could do that, then I would be content. Really? Because the word learned there means that Paul learned it by experience. And we all know what that means. That means that he tried it one way and learned that it didn't work. And so he had to do it the Lord's way. Kind of like us. You see, we are more like Paul than we actually give ourselves credit for. Paul said, I had to learn that. I had to learn that his will was better than my will. I had to learn that I could trust him. I had to learn that if I was going to have it, or that if I was going to be, it was going to be through Christ. And that he would strengthen me. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Wow. Well, that's to me, that's perfect for a new year. I see a committed preference and a comforting dependence. Thirdly, I want you to see and recognize a commanding expedience. A commanding expedience. It's the first two words of verse 13. I can. He says, I can do. You see, we get so wrapped up with the all things or the do that we forget the I can part through Christ. I can, through Christ, do all things. I can. They tell me the word expediency is the state of being, I love this, the state of being suited to the end in view. Now, if God created me in his workmanship unto all good works, then he's made me suitable to that end. I'll explain. Colossians chapter 1 says it this way. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The word meet there means suitable. It means that the requirement that God has for me to be in heaven, that through Christ I am made suitable for heaven. Does that make sense? That through Christ and the shedding of his blood, the atonement, the reconciliation, I have been made, I will say it this way, I have been made fit for heaven. I have been made suitable for heaven. That means my sin is gone before God. That to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I have to do nothing else to be saved. Jesus did it all for me. So when I die, I'm going to go right to heaven. Why? Because God made me suitable for that. Now, he's made me suitable, follow this logic. If he has made me suitable for heaven, then don't you think through the most, through the same resource that he could make me suitable for this life? Oh, yeah. That's exactly what we're saying. According to the Bible, I'm made suitable for heaven through Christ. The part that is not, that part is not difficult for us to understand. Our difficulty comes on this side of eternity. That I am made suitable for God's will today. That you, as a child of God, are made suitable for God's will tomorrow and for the rest of your life. You can do it all through Christ. The commanding expediency is of Paul's life that, man, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Every day of his life was suitably made for God's will. No matter what that entails, through Christ, I can do his will. He has made me all that I need to be and equipped me and empowered me with all that I need to have to do it all. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Able and sufficient are synonymous. That what God has called me to do, I can do. Why? Because he's fit me for it. He's made me suitable. Paul came to the place in his life when he could say before God, no matter what it is, Lord, I can do it. No matter where it is, I can go. No matter what I may look like or what it may make me look like, no matter what it may require of me, I can do it, God, but I can only do it through Christ. You could say it this way. I'm ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. I can do everything that God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power. The Christian has all power within that he needs to be adequate for the demands of life. God has given me everything that I need that pertains to life and godliness. He will give me no more. The question is, am I using it? Am I plugged into it? Am I accessing that strength through Christ? Or am I still trying to do the impossible? See, how do you release it? How do you tap into it? Faith. Faith. I would remind you that faith without action is dead. You ever gone and looked for, you know, several months ago, I taught the kids of our church, if you test the 9-volt battery on your tongue, you'll know if it's good or not. Those 9 volts, well, they're a little pesky. They're not normally on hand. You have AAA, AA, maybe some C's, on occasional some D's. But those 9 volts, they're peculiar. You never find those in the house. You always have to go to the store and get some more. You can never buy one. You have to buy 2-pack. You think, well, I'll buy 4 because who knows how many more times in the next 20 years I'll need a 9-volt, you know. And then you go looking for it. And you go, oh, well, there's a 9-volt. If you happen to find one, and you go, I wonder if it's any good. You test it, and it's dead. That's the way my faith is without works. It's dead. There's a lot of people in this country. Still, I believe in this country a lot, and I love this country. I think there's a lot of people in this country who have faith, but rare compared to the masses are the Christians that have faith and works. And do you know why? Do you know why? Because they have no strength. Because they're not doing anything through Christ. That's why we're here. It's to say at the beginning of the year, Lord, I want to surrender. I want to do all that you want me to do. I want to be all that you want me to be. I want to fulfill all that you've created me to be. And I know that you've made me suitable. And God, I want to ask you to forgive me for not doing that. I've tried to do it on my own. I've tried to be strong on my own. I've tried to raise my family on my own. I've tried happiness on my own, and I'm not. And Jesus says, I know. That's why I died, so that you could be happy. That's why I took your shame, so you'd never have to live in shame. That's why I gave you life through my death, so that you can live life more abundantly, and you could have the joy of the Lord and rejoice always in the Lord. And I could do it. That's why we meet. That's why the importance of the very first Sunday of the year is so that you don't just start fresh, you start strong. People remember two things: how you start and how you finish. The book Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, which, by the way, I've read twice. I would recommend that to anybody who wants to take their spiritual life to a different level altogether. It's not a very big book, but it's the most profound book I've ever met in the Christian walk. The book Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret illustrates this principle of the inner power in the life of a great missionary to China. It is said for many years, Hudson Taylor worked hard and felt that he was trusting Christ to meet his needs. But somehow, and this was hard, it's hard for me to believe when you read the book, somehow he had no joy or liberty in his ministry. That's the hard part. Because when you read the book, you think, next to the Apostle Paul, this guy is like the Christian Iron Man. But he had no joy or liberty in his ministry. Then a letter from a friend opened his eyes to the adequacy of Christ. It said, and I quote, "It's not by trusting my own faithfulness, but by looking away to the faithful one." He said, this was the turning point in my life. Moment by moment, I drew on the power of Christ for every responsibility of every day. And Christ's power carried me through. Now, I don't know what you're trying to do on your own, but you were not built for it. You were built to be carried. And if the government is on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think he can handle your burdens. I think that he has more than adequate power to get you through all things through Christ. Let me give you a few statements and I'm done. You can do all that God wants you to do because, first of all, through Christ, there is no limitation. There's no limits to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. When your preference is his will and your dependence is on his strength, there is nothing in the will of God that you cannot accomplish. There is no, through Christ, there's no limitation. Secondly, through Christ, there's no lack. Look down at verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory," here it is again, "by Christ Jesus." There is no lack when it comes to me doing all that I need to do through Christ. There is no lack. There's no human condition that God cannot correct. There is no need that he cannot supply. God takes care of his children, period. He's the good shepherd. He can only take you to still water. He can only show you to green pastures. And he alone restores the soul. Make no mistake. Paul got tired. Paul got wearied. Paul lived in pain. Paul lived with a bounty on his head, but he never lacked. Why? Because Jesus Christ was his resource for all things. Listen, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Wow. That's a man who's strengthened through Christ. Let me give you C, and I'm closed and I'm done. Through Christ, there's no loss, only gain. I said it earlier, and it's in this, the most personal letter he wrote, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We are consumers by nature. And God says, "I know, that's why I'm always a giver. And I'm going to give you more grace. But God, my life is a wreck. I've got all this sin. That's okay. Where sin abounded, there did grace much more abound. It's by the grace of God, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. I am what I am, and I can what I can do only through Christ." The real Christian life is not about loss, it's about gain. Through Christ, you have gained all you ever need. Now all you have to do is access it by faith. Trust in his will, depend on him completely, and you will be able to do all that he asks you to do. So Somebody said the love of God reigning in the heart is the life of the soul towards God. Christ is our spiritual life. There is no living to God but through Him. Through Christ as the author and maintainer of this life. Through Christ as the head from whom we receive vital influence. Through Christ as the root by which we derive sap and nourishment and so live. Then in living to God, Christ is all in all. And I wonder this morning, in a moment when you give this invitation, if you'd start all over again. I'm going to talk about that tonight. I hope you'll come back at 5 o'clock. The new beginnings of a new year, to me, are always exciting as a Christian. Because it reminds me of God's mercies that are always new. And I can always go back and say, okay, Lord, 2019 wasn't all that it should have been. Because I wasn't doing it through and for Christ. But as to the best of my ability today, I want to start different. I want to do all things through Christ because, God, I believe that I can. Father, I thank you for your truth. And I thank you that you have given us your truth. I thank you that you have given us the Spirit of truth to guide us into all truth. And God, this morning, we stand on the brink of a brand new year. First Sunday down, we have perfect attendance. And now, Lord, it would be a complete waste of our time and the opportunity that you've given to us to leave here nothing different from the previous year. Lord, I know for me, I've done some things through Christ, but I've not done all things through Christ. And the correction from your word is imperative for my growth. And God, as a church, I pray that we would be encouraged and humbled and empowered by you alone. That we would draw our strength from you. That we would take our direction from you. And that we would be able to accomplish it all through Christ and your strength. Oh God, I don't know the burdens and the needs of your people, but you do. I pray that you'd visit this invitation in a very special and peculiar way. And I pray that you would help us to be sensitive. Lord, for the one who's here that needs to be saved, I could think of no better day than to be saved today, the first Sunday of the year. And I pray they would come to Christ so that they could be and they could have all things through Christ. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, in a moment I'm going to have the piano to begin to play. Before she does, I wonder if I could invite you to this old-fashioned altar in a moment. In a moment we're going to stand, and I'm going to pray for the entire church. And I want to pray a biblical prayer from Colossians chapter 1. And I want to pray for you. And I want to take a minute, and I just want to look at all of your faces. And I want to picture all of your kids. I want to picture, in my mind, the people that I'm praying for, asking God for you to take this as your personal admonition to say, Lord, I want to surrender to your will. And if there's a place that you need to go to God and say, God, I've resisted my circumstances and conditions this last year. May it not be so this year. Forgive me. If there's things that you know in your heart you need to do, and you've abandoned those things, the reason you have, could I suggest, is because you've been trying to do it without Christ. The beginning of the year is the time to start family devotions through Christ, your own personal time through Christ, being a witness through Christ, being faithful in tithes and offerings through Christ, all of it. This is a pretty broad stroke, but I trust the Holy Spirit will apply it to you individually. And when we stand and I pray, I would invite the whole church to find a place at this altar in the aisle to bow the knee before God and say collectively, maybe even as a husband and wife, taking hand in hand and saying, God, we commit ourselves to you. All that you have for us this year, we want to do by your strength. We want to be faithful to you. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone that's here. God, I don't believe that there's a household here that doesn't need the strength of God. They need it. I believe that every marriage here represented needs your strength. God, would you please help us during this invitation to completely surrender ourselves to you? Would you please help us to be committed to doing and being all that we are through Christ? Would you help us with your grace and strength? Would you help us today to find the mercy where we have tried to do things without you? We pray that you'd bless this time. Minister to hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you need to come this morning, would you come? Would you just step out from where you are? People are coming right now. Maybe take your spouse by the hand. Maybe just come on your own and say, man, I need this. God, I need this with you. I need this for you. I want my life to be given to all things through Christ. We've been given so much through him. And God says, now, what I'm telling you is that you can do everything that I've called you to do, but only through Christ. Just take your time. Make it personal between you and God.